access to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
I've called this study this morning, Faith Endures. And really, that's how true faith should be. That no matter what comes our way, and we're going to face difficult things, our faith is going to endure to the end. We need to finish the race strong and be an example, a light to a world that has lost hope and they've become very angry and very vengeful. Haven't you seen that today? The people are very angry at everything. If you differ in what they believe, people get angry. Well, can't we have a difference of opinion? We're not going to agree on everything. I mean, let's face it, you guys love the Packers, I love the Bears. Tony loves the Bears. We're trying to get Larry to love the Bears. I don't know if that's going to work. We differ. We have fun with it, right? But it's not the end of the world. But some things we fight over and argue. Why? I'm not going to change you. I want you to come to Jesus. I mean, remember Paul before Festus and Agrippa. I mean, he just poured his heart out to them. I wish you were saved. I wish you were like me, but not in these chains. I mean, that's the heart of Paul, and that should be our heart, to see people saved. But boy, if we lose the perspective of what's going on and focus on this world, we're going to be very disheartened. I've broken these verses down we're going to be looking at this morning into four main points. Patience in nature in James 5:7. Perspective for patience in James 5, verses 8 and 9. Examples of patience, James 5, 10 through 11. And patience seen in how we live in James 5, 12. And again, remember how James started out this whole letter by speaking of enduring trials that we face with joy, because these trials are working in our lives and helping us to grow, to mature in the faith. And they're giving us patience as we need that to keep our, and we need that to keep our eyes on the Lord in the midst of the storms of life. So with that as our introduction, let's pick up James chapter 5, starting in verse 7, and look at this topic of faith endures. James said, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and later rain." Now, before we look at this illustration that James has given us here in this verse, patience in nature, I want to deal with the word patience. He uses this word two times in this verse, once in verse 8, and I think we need to understand what it means. Remember back in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, where he said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." The Greek word for patience there was hupomone, and it literally means to remain under, having endurance under great stress or persevering under pressure, staying put, standing fast, even though, we'd like to run away. But that's not the word that James uses here in verse 7 here in James chapter 5. It's a Greek word that carries with it the idea of long-suffering or long-tempered. And think of these two Greek words, one back in chapter 1 and the words here in chapter 5, like this. In James chapter 1, the patience that's spoken of is related to difficult situations, that we are to count it all joy when things come upon us, not running away. But here in chapter 5, the patience that is spoken of is related to people, that we are in turn endure what others do to us and be long-suffering in spite of these things. That's a tough one. "But you don't know what they did to me." Is our Lord long-suffering? Wow, is He long-suffering. Look at what the world has done unto Him. How they mock and put Him down and dishonor the King of Kings. and yet he's long-suffering. And that's what James is calling us to do. It's tough. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. And we need to have patience towards others. You know, I get blasted on Facebook from time to time, and, you know, I kind of have learned to just let it go and let the Lord deal with it. And it's amazing how the Lord does deal with it. It's kind of fun to watch sometimes. I don't think anyone likes to get blasted, but it is what it is. And when it's from a Christian, it's even sadder to me. And then that's what I've come to believe is, wow, Lord, my heart breaks because here is this person who's supposed to be a Christian and now is putting public all his anger. Interesting. And the Lord always ends up taking care of it, which, you know, it's a matter of learning to trust in him. Now, think about what happens to us in this country and compare it to what happens to our brothers and sisters throughout the world, especially in Muslim nations. The slaughter of families, communities, because of their faith in Christ. And they're patient, they endure the suffering, and God is saying, you need to endure. You need to be long-suffering. And, you know, when we respond in anger and hate and all this, you know, let this verbal attack go on, is that the fruit of the Spirit? Think about it. No, it's not. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The only way the fruit of the Spirit is going to flow from your life is when you surrender your life to the Lord. You crucify the flesh. Because isn't it interesting? When someone rubs you the wrong way, what comes up first? The flesh. You're ready to respond. And I'm telling you, you know, I'm not a very quick person, but when someone says something to me, man, I can lash out just like that. It's like, wow, that was faster than, you know, anything. And it's learning to give it to the Lord and let him speak through you. Surrendering to him. And again, it's difficult. It's not easy. That's why we have to bring it before the Lord. That's why we have to crucify the flesh. And if you don't, then the works of the flesh are manifested in our lives. And it's not pretty and it's not honoring to the Lord. And James is showing us with this illustration of a farmer. You know, a farmer who plants his crop and waits patiently for it to grow, to mature, until he can harvest it. You know, he doesn't plant it one day, get up the next day and expect, you know, it to be growing. We had this huge tree removed from our yard last year, and they took out the stump earlier this year. And I put a bunch of dirt down to fill in the hole, and I put grass seed down. Got up the next morning, there's no grass there. The next morning, no grass there. I was impatient. It was kind of interesting how it just fit in with this study. I'm going, man, how long is it going to take to grow? It's been, you know, 36 hours. But that's how we are sometimes, isn't it? And it's not that he only waits for the fruit to come, but he waits also for the rain to fall and help the crops to grow. The early rains that came in October or early November to soften the ground for planting, and the latter rains in late April or May that help the crops to mature before the harvest. And James is saying he wants us to learn patience through this, that God will send the rains as they are needed in our lives to prepare for his return. And it's not easy because we see all the injustices that go on in this world, even against us. And it's hard. This is from April 21st, 2018. And it's interesting, it's an article about how this nation is turning against Christians. And it goes like this. How long will I be allowed to remain a Christian? This was the deeply dismaying question posed to me by a friend with four young children as we discussed the plight of the Christian faith in America and around the world. With each passing month, that shocking question becomes more relevant and more disturbing. To say that Christians and Christianity are under a withering and brutal attack in certain areas of the world would be an understatement. In various parts of the Middle East, there is a genocidal cleansing of Christians being carried out. Women, men, and their young children are being slaughtered because of their faith, and world leaders and most of the media turn their backs in bored indifference. Here in the United States, Christians and Christianity are mocked, belittled, smeared, and attacked by some on a daily basis. This is a bigoted practice that is not only increasing exponentially, but is being encouraged and sanctioned by a number on the left. Too many of those who worship at the altar of political correctness have deemed that Christianity should no longer be respected. Rather, they assail it on a regular basis in a coordinated campaign to weaken the faith and its base. The prevailing view in much of the media is that Christianity is aligned with Republicans, conservatives, or the views of President Trump, and therefore must be diminished and made suspect. The New Yorker just described the opening of a few Chick-fil-A restaurants in New York City as pervasive Christian traditionalism and a creepy infiltration of New York City. This is a restaurant. They sell chicken. And they're creepy? Isn't it interesting, though? Why? Because they're Christian. It's a Christian business. You know, I can't remember where this was at in the country, but there was a catastrophe that happened. And, you know, Chick-fil-A restaurants are closed on Sunday. They honor the Lord, and they're closed on Sunday. But they were making sandwiches and handing them out on a Sunday because there was a need for people. They are creepy, aren't they? How evil are these people? But see, that's the mentality. You know, you put misinformation out there, and guess what? People believe it. He goes on, Christianity is an infiltration to some on the left. In college, they now teach about the evils of Christian privilege. On Broadway and in theaters around the world, mocking Christians has become a massively profitable money-making venture. In name, on the cross, and in art, Jesus Christ is desecrated in the most twisted and obscene of ways. In movies, on television, and online, Christians are portrayed in the most dishonest, prejudiced, and insulting ways. Across the country, Christian colleges are under constant assault from social justice warriors seeking to strip their accreditation and put them out of business. Christian groups on campus are at times being persecuted, their offices and handouts vandalized, and members even being physically assaulted. In a nation that is still a majority Christian, those who follow the faith have been litigated or browbeaten into being fearful to, in other words, Merry Christmas, or to display a nativity scene celebrating the one and only reason there is a Christmas day. Want to stay true to your Christian faith in the most innocuous and giving of ways? To do so is becoming more perilous by the minute. When you stop to ponder just a sampling of the negative consequences, for example, a high school football coach is fired for taking a knee in prayer. Really? I mean, no one has to look at him or say anything. A teacher is fired for giving a Bible to a student who requested it. A Marine is cursed at and then court-martialed for not removing a Bible verse from her computer. Another Bible verse posted by sailors in a military hospital is labeled extremism. If you're a practicing Christian in the United States and open about it, you, your congregation, and your organizations will become a target of some sort. It's just a matter of time. Ironically, in some very real and ominous ways, it's as if we're being transported back to ancient Rome. Will we soon have to meet with fellow Christians in secret? Will we have to whisper our beliefs from the shadows? Will those Christians with traditional beliefs lose their jobs and livelihoods if discovered? As more and more of the mainstream media, entertainment, academia, and the high-tech world continue to purge or discriminate against Christians, what future job fields will be open to young Christians? Will those Christian children eventually be forced to renounce or deny their faith in order to get a job and provide for their families? It kind of corresponds to what I talked about going on in China today. You say you're a Christian? I'm sorry, we can't hire you. Now, as hard as that is to swallow, should we be surprised by these things? No, because we know in the last days, things are going to grow more and more wicked. And as that happens, those who are opposed to the immorality that's taking place are going to be attacked. It's what we're seeing today. I mean, really, think about it. We stand up for the unborn. We are pro-life. And people fight against it. Go figure that one. Really? We're fighting for the unborn that doesn't have a voice. And you're upset at me. It makes no sense. And how irrational this is. If I murdered a woman that was pregnant, there would be two murders that I've done in the court system. Well, how does that work? I didn't think that was a life. You see how irrational it is? It makes no sense. And for us, you know, what do? Well, like a farmer, you have to cultivate the field. You pray for those who are doing these things. And you plant the seed of God's Word into their hearts. You share the Word of God with them. And then you wait for the water of the Holy Spirit to cause the seed to grow, that they come to saving faith. And you have to be patient for the harvest to come. And the main point James is driving home is how believers can learn patience by first cultivating the proper mindset in serving the Lord. Again, you know, you don't plant the seed and expect the crops to be growing the next day. It takes time. You have to be patient. You know, Spurgeon put it like this. He said, "A man to whom it is given to wait for a reward keeps up his courage. And when he has to wait, he says, 'It is no more than I expected. I never reckoned that I was to slay my enemy at the first blow. I never imagined that I was to capture the city as soon as ever I dig the first trench. I reckoned upon waiting, and now that has come. I find that God gives me the grace to fight on and wrestle on till the victory shall come. And patience saves a man from a great deal of haste and folly." Absolutely. You know, again, it is easy to lose hope when you look at all the injustices that are happening in this world. And for the persecuted believers who were enduring hardships because they loved the Lord, James is telling them, and I believe he's telling us, you know, hang in there. Why? Because the Lord's return is getting close. The Lord's coming back. You know, Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:58 said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know, we look at it, oh, this is a monumental task. Well, if it was easy, why do we need the Lord? Do you ever think about that? If it was easy, we wouldn't need Him. But it is, it's a monumental task. It's beyond anything we could ever imagine. And we say, "Lord, help us. Help us to minister the gospel to a lost and dying world, that they can receive that hope, that joy that only comes from knowing you." Galatians 6:9, Paul said, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Do we grow weary? Yeah. Isn't it hard sometimes? You just shake your head, "Oh, nothing's happening." Did God stop working? Just because you don't see the things happening that you think you want to see doesn't mean God's not working. He is. Be patient. The harvest is going to come. The crop's going to grow. But you got to be patient. You can't just give up. I remember a story, and I probably won't get it totally correct. I'm not going to tell you where it happened. It was somewhere out west. A guy had this gold mine, and he was digging for gold. And didn't really get much of anything. And he finally just decided to sell it. It's just, you know, it's not worth it. Guy bought it, and he was within inches, I think it was, of the biggest gold mine in America. Within inches. What happened? He grew weary in the work, and he gave up. And that was a lesson for me. Don't ever give up. Don't grow weary. Continue on. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know the fruit that's going to be born from this. God does, because He knows everything. And what does He tell me? Don't grow weary. Your labor is not in vain. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And He's coming back. Oh, yeah. Changes everything. So nature, patience in nature, learning that, leads to the next point, perspective for patience. And again, it deals with the Lord's return. Look at verse 8 of James 5. "You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." Isn't perspective important? And having the right perspective, the correct perspective, is truly important. You know, as you listen to the news, as you read the newspapers, you think everything is a mess. There's nothing good. The world's coming to an end. And I guess it is. You know, God's Word tells us, but not like the world is telling us. You see, what they're saying is not true. And I realize this is tough. Some of you may be thinking, you know, what are you talking about? Do you know what's going on in the Middle East with Syria, Russia, Iran? Do you see Turkey, how they turned against Israel now, just as the scriptures say? Part of Ezekiel's 38 and 39 invasion against Israel. Do you see the wickedness in this country? Do you see how the church is compromising what they believe and embracing Roman Catholicism now, the Protestant church, for a one world religion? Our nation working to become part of a one world government. Things are a mess, Pastor Joe. What's wrong with you? Well, you know, I'm not going to deal with that issue, what's wrong with me. We don't have time, but we got to move on. But the Lord's coming back. You know, if that's the one thing you take from the lesson this morning, the Lord is coming back. That's a pretty big one, isn't it? Oh, yeah, there's my perspective. This is bad, but he's coming back. So my hope is in him that no matter what happens out here, he's going to see me through. And maybe for some of us, the reason we're in such turmoil regarding everything that is going on is because we haven't established that in our hearts. He's coming back. He's going to take care of all the injustices that have taken place and will take place. Things are not out of control. They are going according to the plans of God found in the Word of God, and that gives us the correct perspective of things. And I'm not saying we don't grieve over the things we see, but things aren't always going to be like they are now. There's only two things. Either the Lord's going to return before we die, or we're going to die and go to be with Him one day. Either way, is it a win-win situation? Absolutely it is. Perspective. It's a perspective. All believers are headed for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Praise the Lord for that, right? I mean, that changes everything. Spurgeon said, "When God shall give you a rich return for all you have done for Him, you will blush to think you ever doubted. You will be ashamed to think you ever grew weary in His service. You shall have your reward. Not tomorrow, so wait. Not the next day, perhaps, so be patient. You may be full of doubts one day. Your joys sink low. It may be rough, windy weather with you in your spirit. You may even doubt whether you are the Lord's. But if you have rested in the name of Jesus, if by the grace of God you are what you are, if He is all your salvation and all you desire, have patience, have patience. For the reward will surely come in God's good time." Keep your eyes on the Lord. He's coming back. In fact, that phrase, the coming of the Lord, coming is the Greek word parousa. It speaks of His arrival. Not the rapture of the church, but His coming back to establish His kingdom. And that should just make sense. Because when the judge of all the earth returns, when He comes back, He's going to establish His kingdom on this earth, and righteousness will fill this land. The problem comes when things heat up and our response is, like James tells us, grumble against one another. And he says, do not do that. Do not grumble against one another, brother, unless you be condemned. When things heat up, when tough times come, when pressure increases in our lives, we grumble against each other. We're critical of one another. We groan and complain. And yes, we can grumble against the brethren. If we're doing that, I'm sure we're grumbling against the unsaved as well. We're just grumbling. What's the perspective? Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Oh, yeah. The judge is standing at the door. You see, we're all going to appear, all believers are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." One writer put it like this. He said, James was writing to people in such a miserable state that they were easily at each other's throats. Close pressure had made them jumpy and quick to take offense. This had to stop. So James focused the imminency of Christ's return on the problem. For Christ's imminent return meant that Christ, the great judge of all, was right at the door. Amen to that. Have a correct perspective of things. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Look up because He's coming. Be patient. You know, we have seen patience in nature. Now this correct perspective for patience. Here comes the judge, you might say. And now James is going to share with us examples of patience. It's always good to see examples to encourage us in the faith. Look at James 5, verses 10 and 11. "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." life is not easy, guys, and we can lose perspective so quickly. You know, we may be so battered and beaten up that we're singing, you know, nobody knows the trouble I've been through. Nobody knows my sorrow. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen, right? And we just end there. That's it. Lost all hope. It's over. And we keep going down and down and down because we lost that hope. Let me say this. That's not how the song goes. That's what we remember. Isn't it interesting? That's what we remember of the song. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. It's bad. Well, I'll share with you how the song goes. Nobody knows the trouble I've been through. Nobody knows my sorrow. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Glory, hallelujah.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us? As we feast on God's word, come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.